for you to do.
Get down when you got no answers. Get down when there is no way. Get down when you're holding hopeless. Get down on your knees and pray. Get down on the highest mountain.
Get down
when the good times say.
Get down when
you want to be.
Get down on your knees and pray.
Your life was over and done, but now your miracle's come, and all your tears have turned to dancing. So sing your praise to the one where comeback stories come from. He is the king of second chances.
So what do you do when there's nothing left for you to do?
Get down when you got no answers.
Get down
when there is no way.
Get down
when you're holding hopeless.
Get down on your knees and pray.
Get down on the highest mountain.
Get down
on the good times here.
Get down
if you want to be here.
Get down on your knees and pray.
Can't get up till you get down.
Get down when you got no answers.
Get down
when there is no way.
Get down
when you're holding hopeless.
Get down on your knees and pray.
Get down
on the highest mountain.
Get down
when the good times came.
Get down
because he wants to be.
Get down on your knees and pray.
Get down
when you got no answers.
Get down
when there is no way.
Get down
when you're holding hopeless.
Get down on your knees and pray.
Get down
on the highest mountain.
Get down
Get down,
get down on your knees and pray.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to High Desert Baptist. Glad you guys are here. And got a few announcements to make. It's good to be back. Had a rather interesting time this week at the prayer conference, and you'll be hearing more about that in a few minutes. But got a statement to make. If you think a profit is what you made on a good deal, you may need to go to church a little more. You like that one, Harvey?
Yeah, you're rolling.
So anyway, I'm glad you guys are here today. And other announcements of probably more importance than that one. Movie night is this Friday. So this Friday at 6:30, we'll be doing The Chosen, episodes 5 and 6 of season 2. Is this thing really loud, or is it okay? The band was really loud. They were rocking, huh? I'm kind of loud, too. Yeah, that's too bad.
I was a drummer.
Was the
drummer loud?
Was the drummer loud?
Yeah.
All right, so movie night at 6:30 this Friday. Council meeting this Tuesday at 6:30. Time change. Saw Dave's little clever deal that he had running up there. But remember, next or this Saturday evening, turn your clock ahead 1 hour. Yep, spring ahead, fall behind. There you go. There you go. There you go. And then lastly, Spiritual Gift Workshop. That's imminent now. So if you want to go, you need to be on that list today because I have to give Charlie the people, you know, the number of people that are going so he can have the materials. And then those of us that are on that list, next week after the service, we'll have a brief meeting to, you know, arrange travel, you know, carpool kind of stuff, okay? And that'll be on the 19th. But next week is the 13th, and that's when we'll have the meeting. Not today, next week. But I need to know for sure you're going today. Hope that made sense. And I can't think of anything else, except maybe I should have had it on announcements, which I always forget. But we have the scripture for today, Acts chapter 6, verse 2, 4, and 7. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples to them and said, "It is not reason or it's not appropriate that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you, Father, just knowing that indeed prayer, indeed your word, Lord, are most important. And Father, help us to pursue those things, even as these apostles did. Father, that the disciples will be multiplied greatly in our area. And Father God, give us grace this day as we seek your face and as we come before you and to hear from you, to hear from your word, Lord, that which you have prepared for us. Father God, we pray for the music today. We pray, Lord, that it would be a blessing as we worship, Lord God. I pray for all the teaching, the preaching, all that goes on here today. May you be glorified. May Jesus be lifted up. May the Spirit be involved in everything we do today, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Please join us as we sing this morning. And by the way, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm sitting down today, so
I believe there is no doubt, 'cause I have seen your faithfulness. My fortress, over and over, I have a hope found in your name. I have a strength found in your grace, your faithfulness. My fortress, over and over, make way through the waters, walk me through the fire. Do what you are famous for, what you are famous for. Shut the mouth of lions, bring dry bones to life, and do what you are famous for, what you are famous for. I believe in you, and God, I believe in you. Release your love inside of me. Unleash your power for all to see. Spirit, come and fall on us, over and over, oh Lord. What you are famous for, what you are famous for. Shut the mouths of lions, bring dry bones to life, and do what you are famous for, what you are famous for. Make way through the waters, walk me through the fire. Do what you are famous for, what you are famous for. Shut the mouth of lions, bring dry bones to life, and do what you are famous for, what you are famous for. God of exceedingly, God of abundantly, more than we ask or think, Lord, you will never fail. Your name is powerful, your word's unstoppable. All things are possible in you. Make way through the waters, walk me through the fire. Do what you are famous for, what you are famous for. Shut the mouth of lions, bring dry bones to life, and do what you are famous for, what you are famous for. I believe in you. I believe in you. There is no fear, 'cause I believe. There is no doubt, 'cause I have seen your faithfulness. My fortress, over and over.
Word is a
Songs, but somewhere in there I get confused on how many we play because we play so many. Yeah, see, you're already knowing what's happening. Yes, stand up and greet somebody. Tell them it's good to be in the house of the Lord today.
Morning, Dave. Having fun with our new toy over there? Yeah. Yes and no, yeah. Well, right, yeah.
Your majesty, to be still.
Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. I'm finding myself at a loss. It's
down to Bethlehem, looks like another silent night. Above your deep and dreamless sleep, a giant star lights up the sky. And while you're lying in the dark, there's a shine of everlasting light. For the king has left his throne, and he's sleeping in a manger tonight. Oh, Bethlehem, what you have missed while you were sleeping, for God became a man and stepped into the world today. Oh, Bethlehem, well, you'll go down in history as a city with no room for its king. While you were sleeping, while you were sleeping, Mary shivers in the cold, trying to keep the Savior warm. Born among the animals, wrapped in dirty rags because there was no room for him in the world he came to save. Oh, Bethlehem, what you have missed while you were sleeping, for God became a man and stepped into your world today. Oh, Bethlehem, well, you'll go down in history as a city with no room for its king. While you were sleeping, while you were sleeping, United States of America, looks like another silent night. While you sound asleep by philosophies to save the trees and kill the children, and while you're lying in the dark, there's a shout heard across the eastern sky. For the bridegroom has returned, and he's carried his bride away in the night, in the night. America, what will we miss while we are sleeping? For Jesus came again and left us slumbering where we lay. America, we'll go down in history as a nation with no room for its king. Will we be sleepers? Will we be sleeping? United States of America, looks like another silent night.
tell you, I'm really excited. I know I don't look it, but I am. And just returned from a prayer conference. And I can see, you know, just looking back, where God has brought me down a road. And here's the thing. You know, here's what happens. When the pastor goes down a road, that's where the church goes too. Unless you throw me out or something. Then I just go down the road alone, you know. But I've been convicted, not just this week, but previously. You know, there's a verse that's been on my mind for months where Jesus said my church should be called a house of prayer. And I've not been happy or pleased, however you want to call it, with my own prayer life. Okay, just, you know, I'm being transparent here, and nor like the prayer that we do at church. Not that it's bad, but I think there's just so much more. But I didn't know what to do about it. It's interesting. I've been exposed to this group of pastors. It's actually been going on since 2014 or something like that. Never heard of them. And the whole thing is, it's about prayer. It's about being a house of prayer. You know, are we a praying church or a church that prays? Think about that. Am I a praying pastor or just a pastor that prays? Because I would venture to say most of us all pray. You know, pray at our meal. We pray to open the service. We pray to close the service. When we have a meeting, like council meeting this Tuesday, we open in prayer, we close in prayer. Does that make us a praying church? And if that's what we do as individuals, you know, we get up in the morning perhaps and do a devotion and we say a prayer. And then we kind of go into our day. Does that make us a praying person or just a person that prays? And I think I know God's got more. There's more. And what's interesting is, and I've talked to a lot of pastors and been around a lot of things, and it's amazing. They don't really, when you go to Bible college, or they don't have classes on prayer. They don't have how to run a prayer meeting. They don't have much at all. I think they just kind of assume, you know, you're in Bible college, you probably pray, you know. You want to be a pastor or a missionary or some sort of service in church work, you probably pray, and you do. But there's more. You know, there's always more. And so I did this message before I left for the conference because I didn't want to come back on Friday evening and then have to come up with a message. So I did a message and I came back from the conference and I changed about 3 words and that's it. You know, God has been working and He's working in me. And He's working in you. Okay? And this passage in Acts, and we're in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, pretty familiar passage if you've been a Christian very long. And we typically look at this passage in terms of a deacon. We call these the first deacons, these seven guys that are listed in verse 5. But it's really, it's where I got the title, The Proven Path. It's a proven path for the church to have impact. You know, this church here, and all I'm concerned with is this church right here. Because this is the one that God placed me in. And this is the one that God placed you in. And we are to be salt and light in a community called Phelan. And surrounding areas. I mean, I know there's Pinyon Hills and, you know, Wrightwood, and, you know, there's area, Victorville, you know, I mean, whatever. But we're here in this place to have impact on wherever our sphere of influence is. And there's a way to do it. And it's in the Bible, and it's in these verses. And it's about, really, three things. It's prayer, it's the Word of God, and it's faith. Because once you pray and once you read the Word of God and God gives you something, then in faith you do. You follow. You do whatever it is that God laid on your heart. I've been praying for months about this, not knowing this would be the message, but just about prayer. And then like 3 weeks ago, you know, I'm given this book, or about a month ago, I guess, I was given this book called Old Paths, New Power. The old path is prayer. And new power, meaning it's not really new, it's always been there, but we haven't been tapping into it. That's what it's talking about. And we had a prayer conference, or a concert of prayer, out in Hesperia. And there was eight or nine of us pastors that were there that were to speak and pray. And it was a marvelous time. I mean, we had music and the prayers were good. I mean, we were really connecting. Problem was, all of us invited people and nobody came. And a few people came from that church, which is always the case, right? If you host something, just like our tent meeting, the people from the church come more than the rest of the people because that's their church. And it was the same thing there. And I was so convicted because I'm not a book reader, okay? I read the Bible, and I know the Bible's a book, but I read the Bible. And, man, when I was in Bible college, we had to read all these books. It was a killer. I can read really well. I just don't like to. And unless I'm interested in it. And the books, they, you know, when they make you read books, that's, you know, I'm not interested, you know. That's just the way it is. But I had this book, you know, and the guy had given me the book, the DOM, our DOM, Charlie Spielman, had given me this book and given all of us pastors, because we have a pastor fellowship first Tuesday every month. And he says, I want you all to read this book. Well, I put it on my shelf at home, where all those other ones I get, you know, are. And then after I had them long enough, I bring them here and stick them in the library, you know. So, okay, I'm just being transparent, okay? But I woke up that morning, that Monday morning. The concert of prayer was Sunday night, and Monday morning I woke up, and I was so convicted. I said, and God's like, you need to read that book. So I thought, okay. So the first thing I always do is look and see how long it is. You know, I'm so spiritual with these things, you know. Oh, it's 270 pages, really? You know? And, okay, if I read a chapter, how long is each chapter? You know, 15 pages. Okay, I'll read 15 pages and, you know, and then I'll read another chapter another day or something. Well, I started reading it. And I read the whole book that day. I read the whole book that day. And it and it kept in different places in there. It kept saying, and if you want to see more on this, go to this website, 6-4 Fellowship, blah, blah, blah. I don't even know what this thing is. So finally, you know, I read the whole book and I'm really, I mean, I'm like kind of blown away. And I'm kind of trying to process what I've read. And I know God is telling me things, right? So I go on this 6-4 Fellowship website and I pull it up. And the first thing I see on there is there's a prayer conference in Texas, like in 3 weeks, March 1st. March 1st. And I'm like, really? And I'm like, I'm getting this thing like, you need to go. You need to go to this. And so I think, man, I wonder how much airfare is, you know, and all that stuff, right? So I pull it up. I get a round trip ticket for $265. Well, originally it would have been $400 or something to fly to Houston. But you know Don Parker. Most of you know him. He lives in New Braunfels, Texas, which is 30 miles north of San Antonio. So I called him up and I said, hey, man, there's this prayer conference thing and I don't know, do you think you might want to go to this? I don't even know why I called him and asked him, but did. And so he looked into it and he goes, well, why don't you fly, you know, here and then we can just drive and we'll take the RV because I was going to have to get a hotel and get a rental car, you know, and all this stuff, right? And so he wanted to go. So I flew to Austin for $265 round trip, paid for his RV. He has an RV, so we got an RV place instead of a hotel. He's supplying the RV, so I paid for the church, you paid. You paid for it. But, you know, it's $149, you know, for my whole 5 days there, you know. So that was a deal. And so it was just all... It was just all falling, and I didn't need a rental car because, you know, he pulled, you know, we had a truck and we, you know, went to the church every day and did all those things. And then we go there, and it's just, the whole event was just unbelievable. And God showed up. And then on the way back, it's like, I knew I was supposed to be there, and now what am I going to do with all this stuff? Because I'm got like, you know, my mind doesn't file things as well as it used to. So I just, you know, just a little overwhelmed, took a lot of notes, did a lot of things. And so all I'm hearing, I say all that to say this, God is working in me, therefore you are going to be affected. Okay? And I don't know what it's all going to look like, but I got some ideas. But today we're going to look at the path because we're supposed to have impact. And I shared at the last council meeting, I kind of preached for about 20 minutes in that meeting when it came to my time and in the council meeting. And I talked about, you know, it's fine. You know, a lot of people have come to this church in the 9 years that I've been here. And God's kind of brought them, you know, in different ways. But I stated my desire that if we're going to grow this church, we need to get it by witnessing, converting people. You know, people need to accept Christ their Lord and Savior, and then they'll want to come to church. And that's how we're going to, because fast forward 10 years, how many of us are still going to be here in 10 years? Now, assuming the Lord doesn't come. A lot of us will be gone. And I don't mean... We'll be in heaven, okay? I mean, let's just be real, number-wise, just numbers. And then if we don't have... You know, churches die. And it was interesting. One of the pastors that spoke, this has popped in my head, I'm going to share. It's funny. It's funny, but it's sad, but it's funny. He is a French-speaking... He's from Quebec. Montreal, Quebec, I guess it is. In an area where, you know, how many evangelicals are there? 0.8% of their population. I mean, just there's like hardly anybody there that believes. But he's up there. And talking about how he was dissatisfied with his prayer group in his church. And he got this church, and he's trying to have the prayer group, and it's very frustrating because nobody comes and all this. And one of the other pastors said, you know why people don't go to prayer time? Because they've been to one. There's a lot of truth to that. But anyway, he said, so he goes there, and there's this prayer time, and he inherits it, and he's struggling because he wants to make it better, and it's not any better. So he says, I resign myself. I figured I would be out of this by death. In other words, everybody in that group was really old, and when they died, then he wouldn't have to do it anymore. And there was pastor after pastor with similar stories. You know, why is prayer so boring? Now let's just be real. That's just what we call it. You know, it's just boring. Why don't I go to prayer on Thursday night? Because it's boring. If it was really exciting, people would be there. Well, why isn't it exciting? Well, could it be that we're not tapping in? Because you know what prayer is? Prayer is not talking. It's not just talking. I mean, it is talking to God, but prayer is the means by which we tap into God's power. God has the power. We have no power. God has the power. In prayer, we tap into His power, and then things get done. Things happen. And if we're going to reach people for Christ, we need Him. We need Him. And so, we'll just get into the message and say, you know, honestly, I don't even know where this thing's going. So just, you know, I've got 1,000 things in my head. But let's just look at it. In verses 1-3, we see there's a looming problem in the church. It says, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And the 12 called the multitude of the disciples to them and said, it is not reasonable that we should have to leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, look out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, over whom we may appoint this business. Look, the church was in trouble. Okay? There was a problem there. And you know what? The church today in America is in trouble. It's in trouble. Pastors are quitting. According to Barna, to the tune of $1,500 a month. Churches are closing. 4,000 closed in 2018. This is pre-COVID. 4,000 closed in 2018. Now, this is all, you know, everything that calls itself a church, obviously. Okay? People are leaving, especially our young people. So, what do we do? You see, there's a problem. There is a problem. So, let's just own it. Let's just say, yes, there is a problem. Quit denying it. There is a problem. And, you know, if church is not exciting, if worshiping God is not exciting, I don't mean fake. I don't mean, you know, I'm just saying the reason people aren't excited is because their relationship with God is not exciting. I mean, this whole week, all this stuff that happened to me, so it's a looming problem, and we see it. You know, look, you know, we got 3 people, we got 3 kids in the youth department, and we got 2 kids in junior church. And That's not acceptable. So what are we going to do? Because there's families out there that need to be reached. But there is a proven path. There is a proven path. So we have verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Prayer and the ministry of the Word. That's the path. And see, here's the thing, and this is what a lot of the pastors that I talk to and a lot of the comments by pastors that were quoted in the book that I read. And it was very simply, pastors are typically pretty good at being in the Word. But prayer is another thing. Prayer is hard work, folks. That's why people don't want to come to prayer meetings, because it requires effort, doesn't come easy. It requires sacrifice. It requires letting people see that you don't have it all together. We get intimidated by someone that we consider, oh wow, that guy or that gal, she really prays. And then we feel like our prayers are like, oh. You know, like, oh, I can't pray now. How do I follow them? Let me tell you, pastors feel the same way. It has nothing to do. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've prayed, but you know what? I've been in lots of groups of pastors, and when they ask someone to pray, nobody prays. We all sit there and just hoping someone else will do it. We're just like you, because there's always that one guy in there that gives you the these and the thous, and, you know, and it sounds so good. And you kind of forget, I'm not praying for you. I'm praying to Him. You know, we got to figure out what we're doing and not be ashamed. And it's a proven path. But you know, prayer and the Word of God, they're inseparable. I just flew on an airplane. Prayer's the left wing. Word of God's the right wing. I want both wings. Okay? I want both wings in good working order. And your Christian life is that way too. You can be in the Word, but if your prayer life isn't matching this, you're unbalanced. You don't have balance. But it is a path. And it's in the order. It says we will what? Give ourselves continually to prayer first, then to the ministry of the Word. And then in faith, you do whatever, you know, God lays on your heart. You know, whatever it might be. In faith. Because you prayed and you've been in the Word and God is leading you, guiding you, doing something in you. And then you do that, you know, whatever it is. It's different for different people, different situations, different seasons of life, whatever it may be. But that's what you do. And by these, the kingdom of God is advanced. By these, we have impact with people. And I mentioned it in council meeting. I don't think I mentioned it here. But I said, you know, we plan this tent meeting. We plan fall festival. How much prayer do we put into those versus the effort we put in? The physical effort. You know, we should be praying for tent meeting right now. We should be praying for fall festival right now. In fact, we ought to be, let's back up even further. Maybe we need to just jettison everything off the table and just ask God, what does He want us to do? Maybe He doesn't even want us to do a fall festival. I don't know. Okay? I mean, have we ever even asked Him? You see where I'm getting? You know, but there's a path. So you pray as a group of people. God, what do you want us to do? do you want us to go to the reservation in the summer? Do you want us to have a fall festival? Do you want us to have, what do you want us to have? And you know what? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you? So, do you believe we all have the same Spirit? Then won't we all be in agreement? If there's one Spirit, there's going to be an agreement. That's the path. We pray, we're in the Word, we get a vision from God, hopefully, a vision to do something, and then you know what? We're all in agreement, we're in unity. Well, that's probably a good indicator that it's of God. And then by faith, we go out and we make our plans, but we continue to pray the whole time. Continually in prayer. You know, prayer is an attitude as much as it is an action. Because, you know, you do have to drive and go to the store and you know, cook dinner and go to the job, or, you know, whatever it might be. You got to do those things. But you can be in an attitude of prayer while you're doing it. And maybe somebody calls you on the phone, or you call somebody on the phone, and you find out, you know, in your day that they got a problem. You don't tell them, hey, why don't you give Dave a call, or, you know, and put you know, and have him put your name. And you should do that, by the way. But you should stop and pray with them right there. Because, you see, that's the difference between being a pastor that prays and a praying pastor. That's the difference between being a church that prays and a praying church. That's the difference between being a person that prays and a praying person. It's a proven path. We know it's proven because of verse 7, the Word of God increased in numbers were greatly multiplied. Okay, we know it's proven. It worked. So, there is a problem. There's a path. And there are willing people. There are willing people. In 5 and 6, it says, so they said what? Choose out from among you 7 men. Okay? And so we have these 7. In verse 5, they chose. It says the saying pleased the whole multitude, both factions. He had 2 factions here that had problems. There was problems. Okay? The saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. Okay? These guys. 7 guys. Stephen, you know, some of these were higher profile guys. Stephen, you know, we get right into him right after this passage. I mean, Stephen's dead right after this passage. Okay? I mean, he goes off and preaches and ends up being stoned to death. Stephen, pretty high profile. Philip, the evangelist, that's who this Philip is. Pretty high profile guy. Prochorus, you may not have heard of him, but according to tradition, he was John's secretary, the Apostle John. He was a bishop and he was martyred for his faith. These other 4 we don't know a whole lot about. And you know what? I think that speaks to how life is. You're going to have your high profile guys and gals that are in ministry and they're well known. But you know what? By and large, most of us are just unknown people. You know, there was a couple guys at that prayer conference that I'd heard of and knew them. Nobody there knew me. Nobody that, Don, was with me. Don knew me. That was it, me and Don. We knew each other. But most of the people there were just basically pastors like me. You know, they had small churches, trying to do their best, doing whatever. And that's who we are. And that's the bulk of the body of Christ. God often uses unknown, unsung individuals who faithfully serve Him. Just faithful people like y'all. those of you that faithfully, you know, you do the things around the church, you're faithful. God notices you. No one else may know you, but you know what? God does. And they, you know, they had some qualifications. We saw them in verse 3. You have to be honest, spiritual, and wise. That was the qualification. And here's the thing. You know, here's a very important point that a lot of times we overlook. We look at these seven and we say, oh, those were the first deacons, and you know, and they were really special. You know what they were? Disciples. Look at verse 2. The 12 called the multitude of the disciples. They were all disciples, a multitude of them, and said, hey, we shouldn't leave the Word of God to serve tables. And he says, therefore, take seven men out of this group of disciples. These are just normal people serving wherever they're serving. They're just willing people. And so they were chosen. The people said, hey, I want, you know, we want you, Stephen. Well, Stephen had to be willing. You know, we don't know how many they asked. They might have asked five or six that turned it down before they got to Stephen. We don't know. We don't know how it went. But they just, it was a group of disciples. All disciple means is follower of Christ, okay? It's nothing, you know, we think, oh, the disciples, you know. If you're a believer, you're a disciple. You're a follower of Christ. And you're just as important to the kingdom of God as any of these guys were. Just as important. God has a purpose for you, a plan that He wants to work. Willing people. And there will be a harvest produced. There will be a harvest produced. And the Word of God. Well, verse 6, let me read that. They set these seven before the apostles, and when they prayed, here we go again, they prayed and they laid their hands on them. And all laying hands is, it's just like, it's like ordaining them. It's like, we've set you apart for this ministry. And so what happened? And, see, verse 7 starts with and. So they did these things. These guys gave themselves to prayer and the Word of God. These other guys were out ministering. And it says, and the Word of God increased. And the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Multiplied greatly. You know, when you read in Acts chapters 1 through 5, and you see after the upper room and the apostles, you know, the tongues came down and they all spoke in tongues and they went out in the streets and, you know, and it was crazy, right? It says, and this day 3,000 was added to the church, and then this day 5,000 was added to the church. They were added. But then you get to verse 1, and it says, the number in those days, the number of the disciples was multiplied. We're no longer adding, now we're multiplying in verse 1. And now we get into this issue, because, you know, as soon as something good happens in the church, Satan does something, right? So he causes this division. And so they use wisdom and they're full of spirit, and they say, look, we got to stay praying and we got to stay in the Word of God, and we're not going to wait on tables. And that's not putting down that position. It's just saying different people called to different things. Okay? And the ones that are called to the Word of God need to be doing the Word of God. The ones that are called to prayer, be doing prayer. Those that are called to minister need to be ministering. They all work together. But the point is, when they did this, it was multiplying. Satan didn't like it, caused this problem. They solved it according to the Word of God with prayer and the Word and wisdom. And then what happens? Now it's multiplied greatly. Not just multiplied, but multiplied greatly. It unleashed God's power. And on top of that, and to give you the exclamation point, and a great company of the priests were obedient. This whole group of priests, it says a great company. I imagine a lot of them were in the crowd shouting, "Crucify him." I mean, there's only so many priests there. It's only been a month or two, you know. But it says a great company of the priests. You know what happens when you pray and you're in the Word of God and you're faithful? You know what? God can make a harvest out of some unlikely people. I mean, who would have thought priests would have become believers? Or who would think that drug addict would be become a believer? Or who would think whatever that person is that you see, you know, when you walk in the store and you see somebody there, and who would have thought they would become a believer? Such is the power of God. God can produce a harvest anywhere. What, He made an army? We sang a song. He made an army out of dry bones. The church needs to change its perspective. Look at the next sentence. We don't reach the world for Christ. Christ wants to reach the world through us. Think about it. A lot of the reason why we fail is we feel like it's on us. We're going to reach the world. No, we're not going to reach Phelan. This church is not going to reach Phelan. Jesus is going to reach Phelan, and He wants to use us to do it. And you may say you're just playing games with words. Well, words are important, and those words reflect an attitude. It reflects a way of looking at things. We're going to reach Phelan through our fall festival. No, God may choose to use the fall festival to reach Phelan. And it's important how we look at it. Ministry is received. It's not achieved. You know, we achieved the fall festival, but if nobody received anything in that, right? What was the point? The fall festival is not the ministry. The people are the ministry that come. And if they don't receive Christ, then we were unsuccessful. Ministry is received. When you minister to someone, that person received something. We try to reach the world through human effort, talent, strategy, and programming. That's trying to achieve ministry. True ministry is experienced by the Christian and received by the world through the power of the living Christ and the indwelling Spirit working in accordance with the Scriptures. We're praying, we're working according to the Scriptures, and you know what? As we obey God and what He asks us to do, God flows and people receive. Prayer is about engaging with the only one who has the wisdom, direction, power, and unifying grace to enable us to look at the world as an opportunity. You know, we look, oh, we need to get the word out there. Listen, this world, you know, it's going nuts, right? I mean, everything's crazy. And we can sit there and moan about it, but we need to look at it as an opportunity, because as things get worse, people are more open. They need hope. They need something to look forward to. Our problem is that we pray in the context of ministry. Lord, help this program work. Help these people to respond. Jesus ministered in the context of prayer. We pray in the context of ministry. Jesus ministered in the context of prayer. Note the order. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word. That's verse 4. Jesus ministered out of the context of prayer. He says, I didn't do anything except my Father told me. Well, how did His Father tell Him? Because He is in prayer. Everything was in that context. If this church is to have any impact, everything we do must be founded on fervent prayer and acted upon in faith. Sometimes we see what God is doing in other ministries and we try to do it ourselves. You know, and that's a lot of the reason why I don't read books, because most of these books that are out there is some guy that started off small and had, he did whatever, and God used him, you know, and built this church, and then they write a book. People tell them, oh, you should write a book, you know, and they write a book, and then that becomes the big book. And then all the pastors read it, and they go, oh, they try to do it just like them. Well, guess what? Different crowd. You know, it's not going to work. You know, Brooklyn Tabernacle, right? What works for Brooklyn Tabernacle ain't going to fly in Phelan, folks. Okay? Different culture. You know, we don't want to imitate the miracle, because that's their miracle. That was God's miracle. It wasn't even their miracle. You know, just God worked. We just need to mimic the faith. And we'll get our own miracle. You believe that? Why has the church lost its power? You know, the church was once powerful in America. And now it's like afterthought. It's because its greatest strength has become its greatest weakness. We have moved our faith away from dependence on the gospel of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, and from desperate, fervent prayer. We believe these truths. What truths? Gospel, power of the Holy Spirit, prayer. We believe in them, but our actions don't reflect it. There are really only three responses to this problem. We can ignore what's happening and do what we've always done. And that's what we tend to do, because we don't like change. We don't like not being comfortable. And so we just go, you know what? It was good enough for Grandpa, so it's good enough for me. You know? Well, it's a different world than Grandpa's world. The message doesn't change, folks, but sometimes what we got to do has got to change. But the problem is, what Grandpa did, we're not doing. Back then, people prayed. And we do our little, I heard a term at the conference, it was called a zipper prayer. You know, you pray at the beginning, pray at the end, you know. Then you just do whatever you're doing in the middle. Just, you zip it up, you know. But that's one way you can respond to it. We can ignore it. And do what we've always done. And while we're doing it, what? we lose our young people. We continue to decline. The church continues to decline in relevance and impact. Another way we can acknowledge the facts and then moan about the culture. We do that too, don't we? Complain about the culture. Well, you know, that's the way it is now. Accept the new normal. That's the way it is. These young people, they don't care. Well, I wonder why they don't care. Maybe it's because we haven't exactly been on fire. Or we can acknowledge the facts and turn to God in desperate prayer. And in faith, move as He directs. You know, there's a book, I love this little book, it's two chapters, Haggai. And in it, it says, consider your ways. It says, you do all this work, you do all these things, and nothing comes of it. Consider your ways. And then later on in chapter 2, it says to why you have worked so hard. You've worked so hard. And the Lord says, and I have smote the work of your hands. Kathy's trying to look it up. I think it's chapter 2, verse 17. I see everything from up here. It's between the Z's. It's between Zephaniah and Zechariah. You can't find it. But it says, the Lord says, I have smote you. I have smote all the work of your hands, yet you do not turn to me, says the Lord. So sometimes the church can actually be out there working really hard and God is just putting the squash on it, saying, you're not coming to me first. You're not seeking my wisdom, my direction, my guidance. You're just doing what you've always done, or you're coming up with things that you hear about or whatever. And look, I'm as guilty as anybody. Okay? But I'm just here to tell you, we got to move in a different direction. Not because we're bad, or it's just we got to start doing things God's way. Look, I love you guys. You guys are the best. But I'm tasked to lead you. I don't know who got the worst deal, but I think it was you. You got the worst deal. But the point being, some of you're going to be out of your comfort zone. In fact, probably all of us are going to be out. I'm already out of my comfort zone, I'm telling you. But if we don't turn to the Lord, in other words, all he's saying is, find out my way and do it. That's what that means, turn to God. It just means, find out what God wants and go with Him. You know, Paul said to the churches, he says, you guys follow me as I follow the Lord. And you know what? Nothing will stop us. You know, Satan, he doesn't care. He doesn't care that you know the Lord. I mean, he already lost. If you've accepted Christ your Lord and Savior, he already can't have your soul. But he doesn't even care about that at this point. All he wants to do is distract you. All he wants to do is distract the church. And we can be doing a lot of good things. But if it's not God's will, he's won. And that's why we got to be in prayer, so that we know God's will. And then we do the things, whatever it is that God, you know, and God works through authority. And, you know, whether you like it or not, I'm your authority. I mean, it's, pastor leads the church. I don't run it, I lead it. We have a council, we make decisions, we pray, we try to do what's right and all that, but I'm the leader, you know, that's your problem, not mine. But I'm the leader, and this is the road God's got me going down, folks. And we'll just have to see where it takes us. But I, you know, why did God do all those things in my life over it really started with COVID, honestly, in me. That's when God really got my attention. And it's just been progressing in my life, and then it's like he's kicked it into high gear over the last 30 days or so. And he won't be stopped. Look, I got the passage here. He says, this is the disciples were having great impact, and the Pharisees were trying to squash them. And that Gamaliel or whatever his name was, he's like a very high-ranking teacher, Pharisee, teacher of the Pharisees, Gamaliel, I think is how it's said. But anyway, he's speaking because they're saying, let's just rough these guys up. Let's kill them. Let's do something with them. Let's get rid of them. And Gamaliel says, I say unto you, refrain from these men. Leave them alone. For if this council or if this work is of men, it will come to nothing. What he's saying is, if these disciples, if it's just them, they're just having a fall festival and it's not of God, it will come to nothing. I mean, let's just make it present tense, with our application. If we're doing these things and it's not from God, it will come to nothing. He says, but if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it. And in fact, if you try to, you'll be found to even be fighting against God himself. And you know what? Let's just resolve to be a praying church. And let's seek God in everything we do. And when He moves, we trust Him and we follow in faith. And then it's up to Him. He works through us. Prayer, the Word, and faith. It's the proven path, folks. Jesus started off with 12 guys, and look what he did. We got like 40 here. I don't think we're limited. They have a thing. They gave us these wristbands. It says 6-3 plus 6-4 equals 6-7. 6-3 gets you a bunch of people that are honest and full of the Spirit and wisdom. Give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. That's number 4. and 3 and 4 equals 7. And the word of God increased and the number of disciples multiplied greatly. In the end, it really doesn't matter if anyone's added to the church. All that matters is that we do what God said. We seek His face. We apply His word. We move in faith. And God does whatever God does. Whatever it is. And if you do that, even if not one person, if not one person is affected by it, if we did, if we were honestly, then you get a well done, good and faithful servant. How many people did Jeremiah lead to the Lord? I would venture to say none. He was constantly getting thrown in prison or in a well or exiled or, you know. I mean, we don't read of anybody ever listening to Jeremiah. They'd call him because they knew he was a man of God, and he'd tell them what God said, then they'd throw him in prison. Do you think Jeremiah got a well done? I think he did. In fact, I know he did. Then he put his writings in the Word, you know? God's about results, but we need to be about relationship and obedience. God is about the result. We just need to be in His will. And you know what? My Bible says, I'm sure yours does too, the Word of God doesn't come back void. It will accomplish the purpose, right? So even though I'm saying nothing may happen, but you know what? The Word of God will accomplish its purpose in the people that we try to minister to. It will accomplish its purpose. We just got to be in tune with the one that wrote it. There might be someone here today or somebody watching. Maybe you've never gone down this path, you know, because the path starts with the gospel. Because this path requires a relationship with God. And the only way you can pray and get guidance from God is to be one of His children. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's only one prayer that you need to pray. And that's the one where you ask Him to forgive you of your sin and you accept the gift of salvation on the basis of Jesus' death on the cross, His shed blood for you. And there may be someone here, maybe someone watching that you've never done that. And you see this world declining in a crazy way, and you're scared. Well, you know what? If you don't have the Lord, you ought to be scared. Because you're not guaranteed another day. But those of us that know the Lord, you know, we've experienced His love. And the Bible says, perfect love casts out fear. Don't have to be afraid. Yeah, there's wars and rumors of wars and craziness in government and everything else. Perfect love casts out fear. I'm not afraid. Am I looking forward to going through some things? Not really, but I'm not afraid. Because I've got hope. I've got that confidence that, you know, this is temporary. You hear me say it all the time, folks. It is temporary. But the relationship you have with God through Jesus Christ, that's eternal. And that will always be there. For the rest of us, there might be someone here that doesn't know the Lord, and I hope you'll make that, say that prayer today. But for the rest of us that do know Him, God wants to work through you as a person. And God wants to work through us as a church. will we let him? That's the question. Are we willing to just set aside stuff and get back to the basics? Get back to what gives us our strength. Prayer and the Word. That's the invitation. Everyone stand. Well, everyone stand. If you can. I mean, obviously, if you have a problem, don't. But I just like you to stand. It's invitation time. Are we a church that's going to be just accepting things as they are and just keep doing the same old thing, or are we going to make some changes? And you know, the change starts with me as the pastor, but you know what? I hope the words, God has used them to affect you. You know, I'm sure the Apostle John, I preached last week where he was boiled in oil. I'm sure he didn't think that was too cool when he heard that decree from Caesar. And you know what, though? God took care of him. And I don't think anybody here is being asked to jump into a pot of boiling oil. But you may feel like you're being asked that. When God tries to stretch us out of our comfort zone, it gets pretty scary. But you know what? You're not alone. We're all here. We're all here to support one another. We're all here to minister to one another. We're all here to love one another. Let him lead you. That's the decision we make today. Is there anybody here who would say, Brother Mike, I've never accepted Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior, and I recognize my need to do so? Anybody like that? I hope that's true. For the rest of us, how many be willing to say, Brother Mike, I am willing to let God use me. Simple as that. Just slip your hand up. I'm willing to let God use me. Heavenly Father, you know, we come before you, needy people. When we do things our way, it doesn't work out too good. But Lord, we're seeking to follow you. So, Lord, do something mighty in us. Help us to become reacquainted with prayer, maybe in a different way than we've ever prayed before. Help us to grow in that very important aspect. Help us to see you with eyes that are looking for your Spirit to move among us, Lord, and to guide us. Give us courage to follow. Father, I lift up everyone that raised their hand, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would be willing to examine ourselves in the light of your Word and then make the adjustment you would have us make. Let us be a vessel, Lord, that's suitable for you to use to have impact right here in our neighborhoods. Lead, guide, and direct us, Lord. We'll give you the glory. We'll give you the praise, for you are worthy of it all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's kind of a different invitation. Didn't really ask anyone to come forward. Just wanted you to just reflect. And I hope you'll go through the week, this coming week. And honestly, I don't know what I'm going to preach next week. I don't know if I'm going back to Matthew or if I'm going to preach something else. I think I'm going to pray about it. So, but I would appreciate your prayers for me as we go forward from this spot. It's kind of interesting. God's worked in my life in dates. I got married on July 11th. I got saved on July 11th. I came to this church officially on March 1st. The first day of that conference was on March 1st. I don't put a whole lot of stock in crazy things like that. I mean, some people, you know, they, you know, numerology and all that stuff. But you know what? Sometimes dates are significant, and it's, I find it interesting when God does some crazy stuff in my life on certain days and dates that recur in my life. And this might be a date, you know. This might be a date where our church takes on a whole different, crazy, spirit-empowered path. I hope so. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. I think this is cool. Yeah, I'm a little wondering what it's going to look like, where it's going to go. But you can't go wrong if you're following God. You know, can't go wrong. So, I don't know. Don't know how to end it. Guess what?